soweth to the flesh shall reap of flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I want to journey you back to the verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Beloved, I want to preach and teach this morning on that very verse of verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I had a bus stop, serious bus stop with one of my very close friends. I was upset. I was angry because this was someone I shared a lot with, invested a lot of time, and I got so disappointed and I was so annoyed. Matter of fact, I was so yoked and frustrated that one of my very close family members had to remind me about my Christian responsibilities. That tells you how emotional I was. And that is the point where being a Christian, it has its good parts, it has its bad parts. Being a Christian, walking with the Lord, has its good moments and has its bad moments. Let me start with the good moments. Being a Christian, the good moment is you can take stock of your life. You can look back at your life, where God has actually taken you from to where you are present at present. You can take stock of all the provisions. You can take stock of all the pitfalls. You can take stock of everything that has happened in your life whilst you were outside of Christ, and measure it against your lifestyle when you are in Christ. And then you can say, God is indeed good. It has its testing times, but nevertheless, though you walk through that valley of the shadow of death, you can appreciate the fact that if it wasn't for God on your side, you would have crumbled. You would have been swallowed up. Those and many other areas is what we always say is the good part of being in the Christian life. Now, in science, they always taught us that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So in the basis that said it has its good parts, let's just check quickly about the bad parts of the Christian life. Now, this is not going to sound very good for people who are actually at the brink of making up their lives to commit themselves to the work of God. So if you are in that moment, please just block your ears a little bit. Because even as disciples, when we are preaching, when we're trying to convert people, we don't normally talk about the bad parts of the Christian life. But elders, pastors, religious leaders, religious elders can testify, they can tell you that being a Christian is not easy. Walking in the Lord is not easy. Doing that every commandment that the Bible and that the kingdom of God commands us to do is a big challenge. But you can also say that without those areas of obstacles in life, it cannot make you a better Christian. So that's why we have the challenges in life. And all of those commandments that put together that makes it very difficult of a Christian life makes us very, very strong. Like for example, the pastor can tell you, if you ask Pastor Badisi, he can tell you that being a Christian is not always about hallelujah, praise the Lord. No. If anybody tells you that, they are deceiving you. Because when you look at commandments that tells you to pray for somebody who despises you, it's not easy. To love somebody who constantly stabs you in the back, it's not easy. To forgive somebody 70 times 7, it's not an easy job. To turn your left cheek when you have been slapped on the right cheek, it's not an easy job. But we've got to do it anyway, because that's what the calling of God requires. And even though people will hate you,
You've got to love them anyway. Now, the problem with all of this is, when we are born, when we started our early life in education, we are being taught the golden rule in history. I remember one of my first history lessons I learned was the golden rule, which is called the conspicuous rule. Do unto others which you yourself would like others to do unto you. But believe you me, in the life of a Christian, that rule does not apply. Because in moments in life where you expect that if you do good, good has to be done to you, it's not always like that. And this is the challenge that every Christian will tell you, that when they act right, they expect right to be afforded to them. If they do good, they expect good to be given to them. Everything that has its boundaries within the Christian life, it's not always the same. And here is what Paul tells us in this scripture, that even if you are in that situation, you've got to continue what you are doing. So hang on a little bit in this scripture of this, in the text in Galatians chapter 6. Because this is some kind of a unique gospel in the Bible. This is the only gospel in the Bible where Paul expressed his bitter frustration, his anger. Sometimes the scripture, the book of Galatians is referred to as the angry gospel of Paul. Paul is angry. He is frustrated. He is bitter. And he writes the letters to the people of Galatia in the 6th chapters of Galatians. And some of you who have listened to me in the past, there's one of my favorite areas I like in Galatians chapter 3. When Paul was so angry, I spoke about it a few months ago, when he asked them, "All people of Galatia, who bewitched you?" This is the era, because Paul was so angry. When you read the 6 chapters of Galatians, you can see Paul's frustration with the church. You can see Paul's frustration with the church. But nevertheless, in his anger, in his frustration, he admonishes the church that let us not be weary in well doing. And he continues to say, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary. Because Paul understands that in the Christian life, there is that frustration. Paul preached to himself, he preached to himself, and he preaches to the people of Galatia. So you can imagine that even in my frustration, when I got the call from the pastor that I have to preach and he gave me the topic, I had to start preaching to myself as well. That this topic actually refers to me. It preaches to me. I had a self-examination of being reminded about my Christian obligation and my Christian responsibility. So if you ask yourself this question this morning, let us not be weary. Yes, I should not be weary, for in due season I will reap if I faint not. So the question is, what do I have to do to remain in that well-doing? What do I have to stay? Where do I have to stay? What do I have to accomplish so that I may not go faint? And that is why I want to park in somebody's driveway this morning, as I give you 3 points in which Paul says in the text. Stay with me in the text, because we're going to walk our way right through the text. So if you want to remain righteous to reap that harvest in due season, number one, you need a Holy Spirit led life. To remain righteous, you need a Holy Spirit led life. So the question this morning is, when was the last time you prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to guide you? When was the last time you prayed and you sowed in the Spirit for directions? When was the last time you prayed and you forgot about the Holy Spirit and you want to tell God how God should work it for you? These are the questions that Paul posed to these people. Paul's anger with the Galatians, if I can give you the lowdown, so you have a context of the content. Paul established the church in Galatia. It's a New Testament church. Everything was going on fine until a group of Jewish Christians called the Judaizers, I hope I get it right, a group of Jewish Christians, they came back behind Paul's back and tried to convince these people that actually they should be worshipping in accordance with the law. Paul's establishment of that church was based on the new covenant and not the old covenant. So they started doing things that they reversed to the policies of the old covenant. Like, for example, they told the Christians, they were Gentiles, that to become Christians, they had to become Jews. That they had to actually baptize, to circumcise their children based on the Jewish law of Moses. And so Paul becomes frustrated. Paul becomes angry. Said, after all I've done for these people, after all I've done for these people, they can easily be persuaded by a group of people who can come and mislead them to going back to doing the old things that they are doing. And Paul is angry and likes to suggest that you do not need to become a Jew to be a Christian, because in the body of Christ, we are all one. If you can flip over quickly to Galatians chapter 3, put it up, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, we read, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Next verse. "There is no Jew, no Greek, no slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." This is what Paul said, and verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to his promise." Let's stop there. So this is what Paul is telling them. Whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Gentile, whether you are black, whether you are white, Indian or colored, male or female, we are all one in the body of Christ. And the thing that keeps us all together, the thing that binds us up together, the thing that holds the church together within the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Now this war is quite unique, because we have been told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We always wrestle against principalities and powers. But in the war that is going on in Galatia, it's not war of principalities, it's war against you and your brother, you and your sister. Family members against family members. So how do you get to war in that? And the only thing that can keep you in that disagreement with your brother is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can keep you together in the family, even though you have a disagreement within the body of Christ, is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can make you come to church, even though they didn't announce your name in the announcement that you gave the highest money for the work of the project or the building of the church, is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can make you continue singing in the choir, even though you have not been given a solo, even though you have been trying as best as possible to lead the choir, is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that makes you come to church and keep on the work of God is the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul is stressing in this scripture. That he's saying that the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps you together. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you to remain righteous. And you need that Holy Spirit to connect and to commit you to do the right thing, even though you are frustrated towards the body of Christ. Amen? So this is point number one. That to remain righteous and keep up doing in well doing, you have to invest. You have to live a Holy Spirit-led life. Number two, you have to remember who called you. You have to remember who called you. There is a saying in my country, if you don't know where you are going, know where you are coming from. In other words, when you look up all the things that have happened to you in life in past, and you know where God has brought you, and then somebody, you just get through a stumbling block and you want to go back, just remember who called you into it in the first place. Just remember who's brought you. That's why in 1 Samuel 7 says that thus far has the Lord helped us. Thus far has God brought you. Because in essence, whatever you are doing within the body of Christ, you are not doing it for man, but you are doing it for God. Amen? Amen? So what Paul is saying to the church here is, I know you have been challenged. I know you are going through all kinds of frustrations. I know you are going through all kinds of these challenges and you are tempted to walk away. You are tempted to give somebody the peace of your mind and say, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell her the peace of her mind and forget about everything. Because sometimes when the frustration comes, you ask yourself this question. What's this for? Why am I taking all this? Why do I have to go through all this? But you have to remember who called you in the first place. You have to remember that it is God. And the funny thing in the scripture, when you look at the verse, if you flip over to verse 7, Galatians 6, 7, we have what I call scripture missiles within the body of Christ. Scripture missiles. When somebody hurts you in church, we are quick to actually find a scripture and throw it back at them. That's what we call scripture missile. You keep on doing what you're doing, for God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall reap. We always do that. We find a scripture in the Bible and we throw it at our Christian brothers, not for somebody who doesn't know the Bible. We throw it back at them. Scripture missiles, it goes back and forth. But this verse is one of the most misunderstood verse in the Bible. Because what Paul is trying to stress out is, reaping, the law of reaping and sowing does not exist in the New Testament church. Because the law of reaping and sowing is based on, you do this, I get this. Because that was what the law is about. The law was about what you do to get this. If you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. So, because we look at it from the Old Testament perspective, under the law, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But we need to understand that what governs those in Jesus Christ, reaping, the law of reaping and sowing, is different from what governs us or those that are in the within the body of Christ. So what Paul is saying that for those who sow, if you look at the text, for those who sow in the flesh will reap from the flesh. For those who sow in the flesh will reap from the flesh. If you sow corruption within in the flesh, you will reap corruption. But we all know that whatever we sow is not what we reap. Why? Because we are a new Christian church. We are a New Testament church. Because if some of us were to sow, or if some of us were to reap what we are sowing, some of us would not be standing today. Some of us have no business waking up this morning. But because we are under a covenant called grace, it's because of the grace and mercy of God that keeps us going. That's why the law of sowing and reaping does not affect modern day Christian, New Testament Christian, because our investment is not on what we are doing good. Our investment is in who we are doing it to. Because our investment is based on the Holy Spirit who has called us. And because that investment is in Jesus Christ, that's why Jesus Christ's grace covers us in everything that we do. That's why the grace of Jesus covers us in everything that we do. Now, one thing that always takes me aback, it's when I read the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, one of my favorite verses. Psalm in the Bible. Psalm 103 verse 10. What I mean? Psalm 103 verse 10. If you can put it up for me quick. Yeah. He says, King James Version, he has not dealt with us as we deserve. This is David. This is David. In Psalm 103 verse 10, he says that God has not dealt with us based on what we deserve. Are we there? Yeah. He had not dealt with us after our sins. Rewarded us according to our iniquities. And what takes me aback, this psalm was written 700 years ago before Jesus came. But yet David understood this principle that it's because of the grace of God that is keeping us going. Because of the grace of God that is keeping us going. So, we should know that our allegiance is therefore not unto man, but unto God. That is why Paul is so upset by Christians who fail to understand that it is not the law that keeps you connected to God, but the sufficiency and the amazing nature of the grace of God that connects you. Therefore, the incentive for staying in well-doing is to remember that you're not making an investment in a person, but in the spirit, which keeps you connected to within your relationship in God. Amen. Let me say that again. The incentive for staying in well-doing is to remember that you are not making an investment in a person, but in the Holy Spirit, which keeps you connected in your relationship with God. Amen. So remember, to remain righteous, you have to live a Holy Spirit-led life. Number two, you have to remember who called you. And number three, as I close, due season is coming. Remember this, due season is coming. If you can flip over to that chapter, just stay there. The word due season means something that belongs to me. Something that has my name written on it. Something that God has designed to belong in my life. Paul is saying, if we stay strong, remain in the right path, and keep doing it right, here's the reward. Due season is coming. Amen? Due season is coming. And it's not only coming, it has your name written on it. Now, us in Africa, we know two seasons. The rainy season and the dry season. For those in Europe and the rest of the world, they have four seasons. Summer, winter, spring, and fall. But as a Christian, but as a Bible-believing Christian, you ought to know that there is one more season that you need to add into it. You have to change the nomenclature of the dictionary. You have to change... You have to change the narrative of that season. That one more season that you need to add. It's called due season. Due season. In due season, the promises of the Lord will come to pass. In due season, everything will work together for your good. In due season, your due season is coming because your due season is a reward of staying righteous for whatever you're doing. In due season, your promises will come to pass. We all know the favorite verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I'm changing the narrative. Weeping may endure for a night. Molestation is just for a moment. Frustration is something of a past. Why? Because due season is coming. Amen? Due season is coming. There are two things I know. I preached about this some time ago. There are two times we have. As I close. We have the Chronos and the Kairos moments in the Bible. These are Greek words. Chronos time is the time, just like in our 24-hour watch, our clock, is controlled by and determined by the rising of the sun and the setting of the same. That's the Chronos time. Tick tock, tick tock. And then we have the Kairos time. The Kairos time is predetermined and operates within a Chronos time, and it's controlled by the sovereignty of God. It's controlled by the direct authority and the sovereign rule of God. So what Paul is trying to say for us to understand, that if you keep doing the right thing and stay on the right track, God's Kairos moment is coming in due season. And when it comes in due season, it has your name written all over it. Due season can come in dry season. Due season can come in rainy season. Due season can come in winter, fall, spring, and summer. Every moment, any moment of that Chronos moment, your Kairos moment will come with your due season. Because of your reward which you have placed, your incentive of your investment in the Holy Spirit, your due season is coming. And that is why we can flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18. Just flip it up quickly. First, I don't know who this is for. But you are going through struggles in life, especially being a servant of God. You are being persecuted and you are waiting for that due season. You are being persecuted. You are waiting for when that breakthrough will come. You are being persecuted. You are waiting for everything that God has promised. Your due season is coming. Please flip it up quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, because your labor is in the Lord. Amen. So this is a psalm that you need to drive. This is a scripture that you need to drive home with. I know you know Psalm 23, the Lord is your shepherd. I know you know Romans 8, that everything will work together for your good. I know you know Philippians 4:19, that the Lord will supply your riches according to, the Lord will supply all your wants according to the riches in glory. But I need you to add Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. That let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your gospel that you have preached to your people this morning. In difficult times like this, when we are all anxious to wait, when will this season be over? We rest assured in your authority and in your promise that due season is coming. Due season is on the way. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to bind us together within the body of Christ, that we will have patience, that we will press forward toward the mark of the high calling, because you are the one who has called us. You are the one who called us to do your work while it is day. Thank you, Father, and I remember my brother and my sisters at home this morning, wherever they are, whatever situation they are going through. I preach over their life this morning that their due season will come. And when their due season come, they will come back to the house of the God with testimonies and praise of your glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let all God's children say amen. Amen. Amen.